Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plane Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my soon-to-be elk-free, elk-tastic, we got to get the elk memes out while we can co-host Aramis Perez, who plays a terrible deck, by the way. Aramis, how the hell are you?
I have a refrigerator full of venison now that all the elks are dead.
That's just wonderful. I guess we should get right to it and, you know, just... All right, let's get right to it. Untap a keep and draw. All right, so, you know what? I've been excited for this. Yesterday, Wendy and I went shopping because yesterday was our 4-year anniversary since I, you know, started dating her, moving out here. I'd lost a job, et cetera, et cetera. So we went to, and then we decided we had to get some other stuff to seal up the house because we actually froze some pipes. So we got some plastic, and I'm like, listen, I got a gift card from work. And so what else would I use a gift card from work for but to buy beer? So I bought beer. Oh, wow.
Oh, it's invisible beer.
It's clear beer. It's the new, we actually had it at Red Lobster. Sam Adams Winter Lager. So that is what we are untapping tonight. Mm-hmm. And you're having some sort of 7-Up, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But Sam Adams Winter Lager, that if you're watching on the Facebook, it's green label and I'm in front of a green screen, so you can't see nothing.
It's invisible beer. It doesn't exist. That's only a little bit creepy.
And I'm going to tell you right now, best winter lager they've had in like 2 years. And last year was really good.
Wouldn't know. But
this year has got a really great taste to it. So, you know, hashtag not sponsored. But yes, untap, upkeep, and draw is where we kind of try to tell you guys what's coming on. First of all, thank you for allowing us to take a week off because, you know, Aramis's dad had to go and get all hitched. But we're back. We're glad to be back. This is the day to come back. So tonight, we're going to talk about Mythic Championship 6, and we're going to go over that, talk about a little bit about Mythic Championship 7, and then we're actually going to do a deep dive on Reed Duke being in the Hall of Fame. And then finally, we're going to end the night talking a little bit of Pioneer, because nothing else really happened today, right?
Are we a part of the same podcast? I'm confused.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking, obviously, the big news of the day. We knew this going in. I mean, it's one of the reasons I like recording on Mondays. Wizards came down today with the Banhammer, and they hit the mark.
They hit several marks. They went, like I was saying before we went on the air, they went a little bit whack-a-mole with this. They saw it, and they smacked it.
They actually, it's kind of almost like they went, like, George Bush shock and awe level. It was like they were going to leave no stone unturned. They scorched the earth. So the bans came down. We're going to go over that in our main phase. Combat's going to obviously be talking about what we think are going to be the best decks going forward now, because to be quite honest, I mean, we are now a month and a half since Throne of Eldraine released.
Six weeks.
Welcome to new standard. We are going to have a completely new standard. After that, we're going to talk a little bit about the arena event this weekend. They did the Cascade event, and then we actually have some great news about Pioneer. We actually, you know, I'm going to save that for the end, but you're not going to want to miss that. We've got some... It's going to be a fun night, guys. We're going to have a really good time. So with that, let's just, you know, before we get into main phase, we also like to talk about our Friday night. So I'm just going to say it now. Aramis?
Yes?
You rule. I drool. I'm the worst. You're the best.
Order has been restored to the universe.
That fracking deck, dude.
Well,
it's the first time I think I've ever played that deck.
Yeah, it's not a good time to play against that deck. If you're, and like we were saying before, again, we talk off the air before we go live. You played your own personal variation of a Gates deck,
I played what I like to call the Oko Fires of Gates deck.
Yes, and I was playing Esper Stacks, or Esper Dance, as I guess it's more commonly known.
Esper piss me off and throw away the fracking key because you're an annoying deck that nobody likes. You're the kid who would tell... You're Ricardo. And I only say this because Ricardo, he's the guy who always tells me if the student internet is on during the day. He can't wait to run up and tell me. He's that guy.
I take offense at that, sir. But anyway...
I'm kidding. We'll definitely take that out of the podcast. But yes, he's a... Yeah, it's that deck sucks, dude. Well, that deck is you have all the funds. Well, it makes Teferi look like nothing.
Like I was saying too, the problem with our matchup, and we ended up playing round four of FNM this week.
And we were both 3-0.
I was 2-1. Yeah. I was 2-1 at that point. Your deck takes a long time. I saw that. Your deck takes a long time to set up. It takes at least like 3 or 4 turns to really do anything. And
turn 3, I can usually do something.
Yeah, but Esper.
Because I usually find some way to cheat. Gatebreaker Ram out.
Esper Dance sort of sits there and goes, "Oh, so you're playing like one spell or so a turn, and maybe a couple permanents. I could deal with that. Here, start sacrificing. Oh, nothing left. I win."
Yeah, and that's just it. Fires is actually really bad for that deck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had a good night overall. I mean, I started the night off. It was kind of... I was playing... somebody had a... one of our guys there, he had the Oko Planeswalker deck.
Hmm.
I forget what it's called, but it's basically... You know, and I mean, there was no contest there. I rolled him. Like, he had a good game two.
Oko the Trickster.
Yeah. And I just... It basically what happened is, I mean, if you let that deck get to turn 6 almost every time and don't have answers, it gets away from you. The minute I start pulling that angel out,
mm-hmm.
and then I was finding ways to bounce the angel, like I unsummoned it to my own hand. I mean, he was way overwhelmed. Game 2, I ended up playing another one of the students. He was playing a Celestine Adventures deck. He did all right. I'd helped him kind of jack it up a little bit. He didn't have the Edgewall Innkeepers. I let him borrow mine, like, and threw him a few questing beasts. Game 1, you know, it was a good match. Game 2, he was mana screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing much he could do. I rolled that. Game 3, I played this kid who had some sort of mono blue artifact brew deck and designed really to annoy the living piss out of me.
I think that was a mill deck, wasn't it?
It was, no.
No, that wasn't the mill?
Nope, right. It was an artifact deck. He was playing the artifact that gets +1 for every artifact on the field, and he's playing like 3 or 4 a turn, and he really did well in a way. The problem was he was also trying to pay attention to his friend who had...
Oh, yeah, the little guy.
Yeah, he's one of the little guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the most interesting Magic of the night for me, and I mean, the whole game I had to play perfectly. And so, I mean, I am. I mean, I'm doing this. I'm doing this Gate Blaze. I'm getting things off the board. I'm doing what I got to do. And, yeah, game one, I won after 25, 30 minutes. And then he's kind of sitting there, and he's going back to his buddy and helping walk. You know, he's playing Mono Red. I'm like, he wasn't playing Mono Red, I don't think. He was playing a different deck. But he's, like, doing that, and I'm like, oh, he's playing Mono Green Stompy. That was Lou, the kid playing Stompy.
Right.
And... the little jerk, I'm just like, dude, sit down. Like, I won game one. I don't want to be that guy. Like, you know, if we don't finish game two, I win. But he finally sat down. I took him out game two. It was cool. And then I got paired with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that just...
I was just there to crush your dreams like I always am.
Dude, I almost had... I just want to go 4-0 once. One time. I'm so glad Josh beat you. Josh, I know you're listening. It's welcome to Tuesday. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you for being... In some ways, thank you. In other ways, what the hell, man? If you'd let him win, I wouldn't have had to face his ass. But,
that's
yes.
True. That's true.
Because I could have took almost every deck in that room except maybe Simic Flash. I would have
had a chance to win my match against Josh. Game one, I was literally, if I had untapped... I would have taken over the game. I had Liliana, I had Doom Foretold, and he went, what did he do? I was at 2 life, or maybe 6 life, and he went Foulmire Knight, Knight of the Ebon Legion, Knight of the Ebon Legion, Knight of the Ebon Legion, Smitten Swordmaster, dead.
Yeah, he got a perfect draw.
That was so many one drops. I'm like, oh god, that's terrible. So game 2, I boarded in, you know, I didn't see a single board wipe. Which might have helped, but who knows. Game 2, I kept a really bad hand. I should have mulliganed the hand, but I was like, you know what? It's a bunch of lands. It's a bunch of cantrips. I'll draw into stuff. I boarded in more wraths, like Cry of the Carnarium and stuff like that. And he just went mono one drops. It was like turn 1, innkeeper. Turn 2, innkeeper. He went off with... He cast a Foulmire Knight, drew 3 cards. It was disgusting. And so I was like, all right. And yeah, I got annihilated so quickly. I had no chance to really catch up. So... But I think if I had mulliganed better, maybe I would have had a chance to win game two. I know I had a chance to win game one. So that was a winnable match. I kind of threw it away. But I'm okay with 3-1. I ended up with second place. Got some nice shiny foils out of the deal. So, it'll be interesting to see which of the decks that we saw on Friday, which ones are still floating around later now that, you know, those things happened that we were going to talk about.
Yes. Yeah, your deck, I mean, the problem I had with it, I mean, just getting all my stuff out and having to sacrifice my own things, I think that deck is positioned well to do with the new standard. I mean, you don't think so?
I'm not sure. This is one of those things where Oko was warping so much that we're not sure what was invalidated, and we're going to see stuff coming up now that wasn't around when the Stax deck was first built. So it'll be interesting to see what really develops.
Well, I mean, since we brought it up, why don't we just go ahead and get right into...
Main phase.
Yeah, the main phase. What? So Banhammer has fallen.
Yes, quite a bit. Several times.
Today was the BNR. It was... I don't know. Would we say it was as expected?
I would say it was more than expected. And several... I mean, especially if you go simply beyond standard, it was definitely more than expected.
Right. Let's see. I've got it pulled up right here. So for those of you that don't know, if you're a Magic fan, you're living under a rock... you know, not the country. If you're living under a rock, the country, I mean, you know, first of all, buy a house, move out of your basement, jeepers. But get it because you're living under a rock. I'm a funny guy. I do funny stuff. So, yeah. But anyway, so the Banhammer came down today. Oko, that's the big news. Oko's gone. Thief of Crowns is banned in Standard. He is also banned in Paper Brawl. Stop there.
No.
They also decided to ban Once Upon a Time, which I don't agree with.
I do.
But I understand. And then the big one that's really kind of getting everybody scratching their heads a little bit is Veil of Summer.
I don't think that was a surprise at all.
Really? You think it was warping Standard that badly? I know it was warping other formats, but
considering... If it was banned in Pioneer, like, I wouldn't have thought this 2 weeks ago, but when they banned it in Pioneer last Monday, I said to myself, there is no way that it is surviving Standard. If it's too good for Pioneer, it's ridiculous in Standard. And it is. It invalidates most of the answers that people had for Oko, along with other green things. And it's always going to get you ahead on mana. It's always going to get you ahead on cards. If it just did what Autumn's Veil did, where it made your stuff uncounterable and hexproof, that would be fine. But the fact that it makes it so that you can draw a card off of that, for one mana...
It does
mana,
make it a little bit heavy.
It's Cryptic Command for one mana, I mean, against blue and black.
I guess I get it in one hand. Actually, I don't. Here's the thing, and I get where you're coming from. All right, I do. I get where you're coming from. You're Captain Control. You like to play Esper. And yeah, you know what? Veil of Summer was like, ha-ha, fuck you, Teferi.
I can't Thought Erasure you. I can't Duress you. I can't I can't Noxious Grasp your Oko. I can't Swift End any of your creatures. And then, the rest of your spells this turn are uncounterable, and the rest of your stuff has Hexproof from Blue and Black for the rest of the turn, and you drew a card for one mana at instant speed? That's disgusting.
Absolutely.
That is gross.
But here's the thing. That's not... I don't think it's warping. It's warping if you play green. But Oko was a reason to play green and blue. I don't think Veil of Summer is a reason to play green. I think Veil of Summer is a good card if you're playing green. But here's the thing. I can understand Once Upon a Time because technically you could jam Once Upon a Time in any color. It's a dead card if you draw it anywhere but your first cards.
Yeah, but that's not that great.
No, but other than that, well, if you're playing a discard deck, it's not a big deal. If you're playing, if you're playing something like Simic Flash or Is It Phoenix, well, Simic Flash will have green anyway. But if you're playing something like, say, Is It Phoenix, which you want to discard cards as much as humanly possible, like, that's not a horrible thing because you've got basically chump.
You're still wasting a slot that you'd rather, like, even Radical Idea is better in that situation.
I totally agree
with
that.
At least you can cast it twice, draw two cards, whereas if you're just discarding Once Upon a Time to get stuff in your graveyard, that's pointless if you're not playing green. The problem I have with Veil of Summer is that it's not that it's an overpowering card for green, is that it eliminates the ability to play black and blue.
I don't know. I don't think it eliminates the ability. I think
how many blue decks?
Heaven forbid a blue player has to deal with the fact that their stuff doesn't work. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Green shouldn't have better counterspells than blue. And it did.
Absolutely they should. Why not? Color wheel be damned. Listen, we're talking about a design team that put in a 3-mana planeswalker with 2+ and a -- in the field. Well, I'm not going to sit here and try to argue this point. I mean,
my main point
was a step too far.
My main point stands that if it was banned in Pioneer because it was too oppressive in Pioneer, there's no way they can let it stay in Standard because Standard has even less resources than Pioneer. You know what I mean? So if they're going to ban something in a format that is a much larger card pool that would theoretically have more answers or ways around that card, they have to ban it in Standard.
I don't know if that's the truth. I don't know if that's true, and I'll tell you why. There is more card pool in Pioneer, and there are more ways to answer it in Pioneer. But in Standard, with the pool being smaller, you might be more willing to play answers for Veil of Summer in Standard that you wouldn't play in Pioneer because there's so many things that can go into a 1 or 2 slot.
But there's nothing else in Standard that can handle Veil of Summer.
Right now. And I guess that's what they... And I read the article. I mean, they sit there and say that, you know, the reason that they banned Oko and the reason they banned Once Upon a Time and Veil of Summer was they were like, there's nothing coming in Theros that's going to handle this.
Right.
Like, it'd be... I think if they had thought ahead, and again, you got to... Mark Rosewater, I think, has to take this one on the chin.
It's not his... No, it's not him, because he hands off these things well before they're finished.
To the design team.
Yeah, he comes up with the ideas and stuff like that and hands them off. The actual finished cards are months later.
So then, at the design team, there have to be some heads rolling. This is far... I mean, and it is... You have had now 3 sets in a row where you have had to ban a rare or mythic rare because it warped meta. You had Hogak that just completely dominated Modern. Which is almost one of the most impossible things to do if you think about it. What?
My wife said hi.
Yeah. Oh, hello. And, you know, you have Hogak. Then you go into Core 20 and Field of the Dead / Golos, which, again, same set. I would understand if Golos was in a previous set. Same set, and it breaks. And then, because Scape Shift broke it. And then now, Oko, Once Upon a Time. The play design team, something's got to be done. I want powerful cards, and I want to give you the freedom to make powerful cards, but not at the expense of I keep thinking about if I didn't run this podcast, okay? So I try to keep my finger on the pulse, really, okay? I'm not just playing Magic on a Friday night or things like that. I'm really kind of involved in the community and things of that nature. But if I was just, you know, if this was 2 years ago and I just like to play Magic and I was playing you still at work and, you know, you're like, Oko is freaking stupid and blah, 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 and you keep beating me and beating me, I could see myself going, all right, I'm just going to take $40-$50 and buy an Oko. Or, you know, $100 and hope Wendy doesn't notice and buy 2. You know, and so they go to TCG Player last week and they buy Okos and they're just about to get them and they get banned today. Like, that's crappy. Like, yeah, and yes, there is value in Pioneer. And yes, there's value in Modern. They will ban it in Pioneer, I think. I don't think how they can't. But they probably will never ban it in Modern.
Well, I mean, they didn't ban anything in Pioneer this week. They said they're probably not banning anything in Pioneer next week because of the way the tournament schedules go. And one of the other things to keep in mind is that a lot of the stores, like TCG Player, even Channel Fireball, if you buy a card and within a certain amount of time after you buy it, it gets banned, you usually get most or some of your money back. You can even send back the card and they'll give you your money back.
See, that's cool. All right,
yeah, they're not going to screw you over because the DCI decided to ban something. Because, I mean, honestly, if you wanted to compete in this format, you had to be playing Oko. Because even the decks that were built to beat it weren't beating it consistently. Only like one deck had anywhere close to a 50% win match against
it. Yeah, that's what they said. It's like, it's just above 50%. I'm like, ow.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And
But I think this has to be talked about in that, and I'm not a negative Nelly. I am not Magic historian, okay? Mike, he is the king of negative. He 100% is. All right, I'm not that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I'm a big fan of this game, and their wins are big wins. I mean, even Esper Stacks, which is an annoying piece of crap deck to play, I admire it. Okay,
it's only because you haven't embraced the dark side.
Yes, it's because I have morals, and you know I want my family to like me.
Overrated.
I play with my wife and kid, man. If I roll Esper Stacks on them, they're done. They're gonna go play Pokemon or
You're dropping like Atraxa against them when you play them. Come on, stop.
No, I haven't dropped. We haven't talked to Commander yet. That's
cool. Yeah. And when that happens, you will be sleeping on the couch. Yeah, but here's
shit. Well, actually, my populate deck's almost as bad. Oh, yeah, the new commander with the populate mechanic. Yeah. Well, because I threw a God Pharaoh's Gift, I threw the Crested Sun Mare, and I threw an Anointed Possession, and I might have thrown the Authority of the Consoles. So it was
one of the things though that Wizards did, sort of getting back somewhat on the rails a little bit. In addition to the banned and restricted announcement, they did publish an article that's sort of like a mea culpa. They admitted that they messed up on Oko.
I didn't see this article. That's cool.
Yeah, it was right next to it. They basically, what they said, and this sounds suspiciously like Skull Clamp. Basically, what they said was that ultimately we did not properly respect his ability to invalidate essentially all relevant permanent types, and over the course of a slew of late redesigns, we lost sight of the sheer raw power of the card and overshot it by no small margin. Oops.
Yeah. Oops. And I really hope they do something with Oko later. Like, I hope they bring him back. I think he's a great character.
Well,
for
he's
lore.
He didn't die in the story, as far as I know. He got thwarted, but whatever. We don't know what his motives are. I'm sure he'll be back. It might be a little while now that he's been banned, and people kind of either hate him or hate him. But
I'm just going to put this out there right now. Core 2022.
Oko. Yeah. Elk set 2022. One of the other things they said in the article was that if you've been playing Magic for a while, you might have noticed between, like, I think it was Cons and Battle for Zendikar, that they sort of powered down Standard a little bit. The sets coming out.
Yeah, they totally
And then
did.
starting from Guilds of Ravnica through Throne of Eldraine, they ramped it up. They said that Throne of Eldraine is sort of on the high end of the range of power that they want for sets. But they said it's going to be closer to that level going forward, that they're going to be powerful sets, but that they messed up on a couple of key cards, namely Oko.
Well, you can't go to Theros and not have power. You can't.
No, it's going to be powerful. Like, if you say that, like, power level wise, if Throne of Eldraine overall was like a 7 or an 8, which I would say is probably a fair assessment, it's a strong set. Mm-hmm. I would say that Theros is probably going to be like a 6 or a 7.
Probably.
You know, they probably dialed it back a smidge, but it's probably still going to have some pushed stuff. Hopefully they figure out how to do 3-mana planeswalkers, because they seem to trip up on those a lot, because one of the other things that was announced in this banned and restricted announcement was Narset getting restricted in Vintage, and you have any idea how hard it is for a card to get restricted in Vintage?
Yeah.
Well, it never happens anymore.
She was warping that. I mean, look, it's definitely...
I called that, by the way, several months ago.
You did. You know, it's definitely, it was overdue. Yeah. I think I think they realized too, don't get me wrong, when they banned Field of the Dead and then the Oko talk started, I have no doubt in my mind that if they had done a BNR then, it would have been Gilded Goose and Once Upon a Time. And they would have left Oko in there. But then as more and more, and it wasn't even us, like, I would love to sit here and be like, us casuals did it. No. Louis Scott Vargas did it. Stu Phillips. All these pros come out. Even Saffron Olive coming out and saying, Oko is Broko. And then all the memes start. And
oh,
then,
my God.
And then
the
you have an Arena Mythic Championship 5 that is dominated by Oko. And then
not
you
as much as 6 or 7.
And then 6 comes out, and that's just ridiculous.
70%.
And then you have Star City Games basically effectively canceling Standard for the rest of the year. Like, this was they had to course correct, and maybe, I mean, we'll never know, but if there's no arena, I don't think they ban Oko.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have banned Oko if arena did not exist. They would have banned around it first.
Yeah. I do have to say it was when I was reading Reddit after the announcement came out. I wish I could find the person who said it. Somebody on Reddit. I'm giving them credit for the joke. They talked about, okay, it was Oko, Veil of Summer, and Once Upon a Time. You might say they were 3-3, as in 3-3 elk. It was awesome. I mean, it's one of those things that it's better in context.
Yeah,
but
it was
hilarious. But I had Oko.
I really hope they unban Once Upon a Time at some point, because I think that's a great card.
Not going to happen. The consistency that it allows green to do, the fact that it's... And here's the thing, too. They keep trying to do this. They keep trying to cast... They keep trying to make spells that you can cast for free that do things that are really good. Or even, like, it's just kind of marginal. It's not going to be that bad. Oh, wait, nope. It's dominating the format because everybody loves free stuff. I mean...
Yeah.
It's crazy good. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up getting banned in other formats later on. Like, it probably has a target on its head in Pioneer.
Well, Josh and I, we were talking about that. Which, Josh is one of the guys at Kerwin's, by the way, which we're wearing our pants today. But yes, Josh and I, we were talking with Josh about that on Friday, and he's like, he's like, they have to ban it in Pioneer. He's like, there's just no way they don't. I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, it's kind of nice to see that they didn't do a ban today in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right. I think they got another big event coming up with two SCGs. Magic something doesn't like have that. Any events.
No, but there's something. There's like PTQs and stuff over the weekend next week. So they're skipping it. They said everything looks okay this week. They're going to not do one next week unless something really crazy happens. They said they reserve the right to change their minds and do an actual announcement on Monday. But I would be surprised if they did. I'm kind of glad they're letting things settle a little bit because there's some powerful stuff out there, but nothing really seems super obnoxious right now. I might be ready to dip my toes in Pioneer. If they can go 2 or 3 weeks without a ban, I might be like, all right, I'm going to get in. And it'll honestly probably be Esper Control, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, shocker. I'm having a good time. I've created three, you know, using cards I had. I really haven't spent any money. I did buy a thing in the ice. Because I'm going to build an Izzet Phoenix.
And you're not that far away from that. So.
And they're going to ban an Izzet Phoenix, don't you worry. But, I mean, I was looking at it going, you know, okay. I just started building. I built three great decks. I have a mono-red deck, which is pretty good. And I would, if I was going to play anything in a competitive, I'd play that. Because it's the most consistent. It's fast. It's built around the Hazoret shell.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and you knew I had that deck. It was a great deck to play.
Yeah, ramming up red.
Yep. I built a energy deck, which is not doing as well as I thought it would.
Yeah, energy is not that great.
No, it's real. It's obviously that teamer energy was a standard thing. And the minute it got out of standard, I mean, there's too many answers for it. It's too slow. I'm having fun. I'm having a lot of fun with my God Pharaoh's Gift. It's basically God Pharaoh's Gift Nexus of Fate deck. And I'm having a blast with it because it's just so stupid combo-y. And, you know, you're just dumping cards into the graveyard. And if you dump Nexus, you get to shuffle. So it kind of also, like, offsets Land Screw. And, I mean, it's consistent.
Hmm.
And it's been playing for me pretty well. I designed it first. I forgot to put the Minister of Inquiries in. So I'm sitting there playing with the guys going, I've got two cards in my graveyard. We're turn five. What the hell is... So I'm like, oops. But I mean, yeah, I threw Emery in there. Emery's great for that deck.
Yeah.
I love the brewerness of it. And I know that it's going to get figured out. That the meta's going to warp, or not warp, but it's going to get figured out. And then the brewing can continue, but it's not really going to.
There's going to be tons of brewing in Pioneer just because of the larger card pool and because of the popularity that people really jumped onto this format. It's really taken off. I think it's definitely here to stay. I mean, obviously having immediate PTQ support and major tournament support helps, because then people have to get invested in it because it's going to be showing up on stream. But it looks like a great format. I'm glad that they did, you know, another Eternal format that a player like me can actually get into without having to plunk down $1,000 for fetch lands.
And that's really the key to that whole thing is the you know, the cost of admission for this set, for this format is, you know, it's bearable.
In some situations up until this Monday, it was cheaper than standard.
Right. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I'm having fun with it. And, you know, I kind of want you to get a Pioneer deck. So on one of these Fridays, I mean, we'll be back at, you know, I'll be taking the guys out there on the 13th. So, because they're not getting paid the next 2 weeks. So.
I was that's right. End of the year. I forgot about that.
So I'm like, guys, I'm not going to, you know, try to go to the store with, you know, without you being able to buy stuff. So we're going to go in 4 weeks and then, you know, it'll be it for the season. I'm hoping to take Matthew Friday night. I want to take my son to, like, I might take him to the small store out here. I might take him up to Bonds, whichever one he wants to go to. And they're doing Modern at that store. It's the Gamers Revolt. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, on Friday, so I don't know that I want to roll him in there. I may try to see if they're doing...
Yeah, he might get squished. Yeah.
Well, he will get squished.
Yeah, Modern's kind of nasty. And he's not...
There's enough Modern decks going around, somebody would loan him one. Yeah, he's not there yet. He hasn't seen
Modern's
some
one
of
those formats. Anything Modern and back is one of those formats where if you don't know all the cards and interactions, you're just going to get destroyed because you're like, oh yeah, he plays this, and because of this interaction here, you lose, and it's what?
And you know, something else to talk about. I mean, I know we're still in main one and with the thing, but I mean, when we're talking about Modern, we are definitely seeing a shift. SCG put out their event list this week, and Wizards did the same. Or it was last week, I think. And basically, Legacy's done. It's just done. Like, it's going to be there, but where Legacy events would have been is now kind of becoming Modern. Where Modern is where Pioneer is going.
Yep.
And Standard is still Standard or Sealed. And I mean, they put out their schedule. They haven't said what formats are what. I think Star City was waiting to see what today brought. I think you'll see more Standard now with Oko gone. And I have no doubt in my mind that Star City Games was like, listen, you know, you want us to do Standard because that helps you. Then you guys better do something.
No, they needed to fix the format for a myriad of reasons. I think. Like I was saying 2 weeks ago, this was Affinity all over again. And it really reminded me so much of Affinity. And I was getting that, I started getting that feeling in my gut again of saying, this isn't fun. It's not fun. Because it's like, all right, you know, I'm playing a deck that I enjoy, but I have to main deck 6 cards for Oko.
Yeah.
That I would normally not main deck.
Right.
And it's knowing that, A, if I don't see those cards, or B, even if I do see those cards, my chances of winning the match are at best about 50%, and that's not cool.
Not cool at all. So, you know, and actually it's going to bring us to a good point, is because now everything's different. With Oko gone and Veil of Summer and Once Upon a Time, we have a new standard. So for combat today, we wanted to talk about new decks, so let's get into that.
Combat phase.
So combat today, and I'm not sure if it'll be combat, or if it's just going to be us kind of, you know, coming up with the best decks that are going to be going around. We are basically in a new standard now.
Yep.
Simic, I think Simic is still a thing. I think Simic Flash is definitely still a thing.
Yeah, Simic Flash lost a couple of pieces, but 90% of the deck is still there.
Yeah. And, well, I think Brazen Borrower is the key to that deck. And obviously the wolf. Everybody loves the wolf. So, I mean, I guess the question is, Aramis, what do you think is going to be the new hotness?
I really don't know. It's tough because, like I was saying earlier, Oko and food in general was invalidating so many different strategies that we really don't know what's available in this standard.
Well, then let's ask that question first. Is food dead? Is food clues now?
Food food is probably tier two at this point. I think it still has goose. It still has wolf.
Edgewall wolf.
It'll no longer be food based. It'll be more of like a mid range or aggro deck. More like a green blue, maybe green blue stompy or green black stompy type of thing. You know, because questing, like you said, questing beast is really good. Wicked wolf is still good with food. Yeah. I don't want to say that it's dead because
voracious hydra.
Yeah, so it'll take a different form. It still has hydroid crisis. It still has Nissa. Green will still be there. I'm not sure it'll be as good. Obviously, it won't be as good without Oko, or Once Upon a Time, or Veil of Summer.
I really think Once Upon a Time is the key to that. I mean, here's the thing. I never really played Veil of Summer that often. I really didn't. I mean, I have four of them, and they are always in a sideboard. But yeah, and even then, I would be playing a deck going.
It's super good.
It is super good. Worse. I just didn't, you know. For me, it was too much. Like, it was too blue.
That's the thing. Is basically you can sit back the entire game, have one forest untapped or one green source untapped. And know that at any point you can completely shut down your opponent if they're playing those colors. Because, again, you know, everything is hexproof. Everything's uncounterable. And, oh, you played a spell? Well, I'll draw a card, too. As in one mana instant. Just because I can. So that... But I would say the Cat Oven decks, those
Sacrifice
are probably get
decks,
better.
Basically.
Yeah.
Mythic, what is it? Mystic Devil or whatever that... That's part of it, and
yeah, cat food or whatever, I think is what it's called, or Rakdos Aristocrats or something like that. Azorius Control, we will probably see control decks reemerge.
I think you'll definitely see control decks reemerge.
I think Teemer Reclamation will probably come back a little bit.
I don't know about that. I think Teemer Reclamation was an answer to Oko. I really do. I feel like that deck became more popular because it actually had a decent chance against Oko.
Well, it's kind of a gold fishing deck because if you think about that too, again, Veil of Summer,
right?
Oh, fires me for a explosion me for 24? No,
I think Fires of Invention. I think fire decks are going to have something.
Yes, fires decks should be
whether good. They're going to be tier one or not. I think somebody's going to crack the code. You know, because you wouldn't do a fire teamer reclamation deck because you want to be able to cast spells on their turn. Otherwise, why reclamate? Mm-hmm. But I think fires might, Jeskai fires maybe. Jeskai Super Friend fires probably would be the flavor for that. Mm-hmm. Definitely, like we said, Simic Flash. I mean, I've been playing that. I kind of put it back together. It's fun for me. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you want to know what? It's not just fun for me. With Brazen Borrower and the ability to bounce things out, so, okay, you're going to kill my wolf. Well, I'm going to put it back in my hand. I'm going to cast it on your turn later. You know, things like that. Like, there's enough tools in that deck now that where it's not there yet. Well, it wasn't there because of Oko, and it might still not. Like, I think it still loses to things like, well, everything loses to Esper Dance.
Not true. You can get under Esper Dance pretty easily.
You can get under it pretty easily, but I mean you need to have the perfect draw. I mean, the longer a game goes with Esper, the more likely you are to lose. I mean, to be quite honest, I'm driving home and I'm kicking myself the other night because I was like, I realized that when I did fire, I have a Garrick in that sideboard. Because I fired in Fae of Wishes, you let me the sorcery on it.
Yeah.
And I could have grabbed Garrick. Brought Garrick in, and now I've got two wolves to sacrifice every turn. I was like,
it's non-token.
Ah, fuck, that's right.
Can't sacrifice tokens.
Because I did almost grab an Unmorged Ego to be no dance in the match. Yeah, you can sacrifice all you want, but your win con's fracking gone. That I probably should have done. Yeah, I think Selesnya, or not Selesnya, Golgari. The deck Josh was playing seemed also pretty...
The adventure deck? Yeah. The adventure deck is going to be pretty good. It also loses Once Upon a Time. It loses Veil of Summer. Losing Once Upon a Time hurts it because being able to freely guarantee you're going to get an innkeeper on turn one...
Right.
is very, very powerful. So it loses a lot of its consistency, but that definitely has still a lot of explosive power. So I would not be surprised to see the adventure decks continue to exist.
Yeah. And mono red. Like, mono red has a...
Mono red definitely makes a comeback, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's cavalcade flavor or not.
It should be cavalcade flavored.
It should be.
Put it that way.
I'm still amazed that they're not running Spitfires. Like, I've seen a few cavalcade deck lists and no Spitfire.
Reason for that was because Oko was like, oh, Spitfire, Elk.
Yeah, that's true. So you might
see
it come back. And then
it's no longer a one power creature, so cavalcade doesn't trigger.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think red takes a nice hit. I think red, flash, adventures. I do think dance is going to have... I think dance will have a tournament. I do think dance will have a tournament win. Now, people may find a way around it after that, but I think... And it might be this one. Whatever the first major standard tournament is after this ban, I think you'll see dance take a giant leap.
Maybe.
And then...
So we might also go back to the old tradition of new standard aggro is king.
Maybe, but I think because people you usually do that when it's a new set and you don't know all the cards, so you know that attacking every turn is the way to go. Everybody's kind of had time with these cards, but their brewing has been colored by Oko like everything else in this damn format. So I don't know that aggro, I mean, unless it's just going to be aggro, and a Gruul and red aggro were a thing. They were tier two. Gruul aggro loses Once Upon a Time, which I don't know that it recovers from. I think that card in Gruul aggro made Gruul aggro go from tier two to tier 1.5 at least.
Yeah.
Losing Once Upon a Time, you lose a lot of consistency in that deck because most of Gruul aggro doesn't want to do anything till turn three.
Yeah. Basically, if you were playing green and you weren't playing Simic, you were playing Once Upon a Time, you were playing Veil of Summer. So you've lost up to eight. You've lost eight slots between your main deck and sideboard. So there's going to be a period of adjustment. There's going to be, reevaluations of, is this even viable without Once Upon a Time because the card was that good. It's tough. It's really tough to say. I don't think there's not enough good artifacts.
That's probably
for like someone like Emery and things like that, because they've really shied away, especially from colorless artifacts. So
true.
The options really aren't there in standard, I don't think.
The gate deck that I kind of been playing around with could also, the Gates Fire deck. Putting Gates Fire and Fae of Wishes in there. It's still
combo. You still have Hydroid Krasis.
Hydroid Krasis, Nissa, and the sideboard. I mean, the fact that you bring fire in and then go immediately to Fae of Wishes.
Yeah.
And Golos. I don't think it's tier one. I think it rolled that room because everybody was coming in loaded to Oko, and I could get over it. Because I was on my back foot for most of Friday night, and but it just turned five or six, something happens. Either I've got the Angel, or I've got a Kenrith, or I've got something that because Kenrith saved my bacon more than once.
I would say that your deck is very similar to the Esper Stax deck in this respect, is that it can take a hit.
Yeah.
And it also has some inevitability where you're just like, all right, well, as long as I survive to this point, I should be okay.
Right.
That's how my deck operates.
Yeah.
The biggest difference is that your deck wins through like creatures and big spells.
Yep.
My deck wins through attrition and slowly grinding you out.
Right.
But they both have the same basic modus operandi of saying, all right, I just have to take 14 damage. And that's it. And then we're okay.
Kind of like the God Pharaoh's Gift deck used to be.
Yeah, it's like God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yeah, I've got Root Snare for when I get down to eight.
I get punched in the mouth a few times, but as long as I don't get knocked out, I'll win the game.
Yeah, so I definitely think we're going to see, like I said, I think Simic Flash, Red, Adventures, probably Dance are going to be like the top four. I think food does go to tier two. Gates probably goes to two.
Not Control definitely comes up.
Control could come up. Azorius could come up.
I'm looking at a really nice Azorius control list right now, and it looks pretty good. So
I think Gruul aggro is going to go back to two, maybe even three. Mono green Stompy takes a massive hit. Just
still has Goose and Nissa, so it can still ramp out to that pretty
It
quickly.
Has Goose and Nissa. It still has questing. It's just it doesn't have.
Yeah. It would have to change its stripes. Yep. It would have to change how it goes about winning. I could still see a very good heavy green or green blue deck doing very well. It's not going to obviously have the same tools at its disposal that it did before. You know, the goose isn't going to be consistently making mana every turn. You might have to take a couple of turns off to make some food so it can keep making mana. So it's like it's more of the initial ramp to get your turn right. Three or four plays out of turn early instead of consistently having that little mana. Because, you know, Oko would be like, you know, just pooping out food all the time for the goose. So I think green-blue Simic, not Simic Flash, but other Simic decks will probably still be around. It remains to be seen how good they are, obviously, because, you know, it's been, what, 12 hours?
I love how MTG Goldfish took it all down, so now all of a sudden Jeskai's won. What about, this brought it up, I didn't even think of this, Knights.
Yeah, Knights might be able, because this is the big thing, now you can actually start playing creatures again, because now there's not something there to turn everything into an elk. Yeah. So, you know, Embercleave strategies might become viable. You know, slapping that on a Rotten Registrar, there's nothing better than having an 8/7 double strike and trampler.
Yes, and let me just say this right now, people. No. No, no, no. Do not play Kenrith's Transformation thinking, well, it's like it. It's not even close. It's not even in the same ballpark.
I don't think anybody would seriously consider that. I mean, it's a cantrip at least.
I saw it on like three or four things today, like, I'm just going to play Kenrith's Transformation. I'm like, good, I hope I play you.
Well, I mean,
you never know.
People didn't think Arboreal Grazer was any good.
You've always been like that. But yeah, well, so that's our combat. We really didn't have it, but that was our idea. Let's get on to main two because we're getting close here.
Main phase.
Okay, so our second main tonight. We wanted to talk a little bit. There was an arena event again. I like how they're doing this. Okay, yes. Do I wish it was free? Yes. But you know what? If it's not going to be free, just a couple of coins, 2,000 coins or whatever, but as long as I don't get kicked out, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, because this one was, what, 2,500?
Yeah, and it was fun. It was Cascade. So, of course, I rolled in with Golgari Adventures, and I rolled 5-0. Like, it's just like, bonka, 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 bonka. Thanks for playing. Had a good day.
I played Mono Green Stompy.
Yeah?
The very first game. This happened twice. I played a bunch of games after I got my five wins. I think I went like maybe 5-1 or 5-2 in the actual event. The very first game on his end step, because he didn't play a one draw, he played like a tap land. I went Once Upon a Time, Cascade into Golden Goose, he scooped. Because that combination was scary. It was so stupid. It's the only format where you can just, you don't care what you do, you're casting Once Upon a Time turn one. I would mulligan into Once Upon a Time to make sure that I had it.
I did at least twice, yeah.
So, because the deck I played either played, the one drops were the Goose or the Pelt Collector. Yeah. And it was, like, turn three, I would regularly have, like, seven creatures on the board. They're all 3/3s and up, and it was disgusting.
You're a dick.
It was such a crazy deck. It was so fast.
So, yeah, that's what, So we played that this weekend. It was fun. I had a blast with Adventures. I mean, it was consistent. You know,
it was a mill deck.
Again, Once Upon a Time, turn one, get something out for, you know, I had plenty of one drops. It was definitely worthwhile. I hope they keep this up. I think this was the last one for this cycle.
I think it's only up till tomorrow.
Yeah, and then I think they're done. I think they haven't revealed what the next big series is going to be.
I'm probably gonna take a little bit of a break from that, but there was a
they'll do something really the
yeah, there was a really sweet mono blue deck mill deck. Oh god, it was so annoying to play against because they were like, it played Drowned Secrets, the Wall of Lost Thoughts or whatever it was, Merfolk Secret Keeper, and it was just like, oh, I'm gonna play my wall, Cascade into Secret Keeper. Ugh, yuck.
Well, that's a deck that could be too. Is mill could happen.
Mill, yeah. There's a couple of mill decks floating around. So I part of me doesn't want to see it because even as a control player, I hate mill. Hate mill.
I should probably.
I'd rather my stuff gets countered. I would rather play against a deck that just counters everything in sight than just mill. Because I don't know. It's like for whatever reason, I really don't like it.
No, I'm starting to think I should build a mill deck.
I would say like I would rather play against land destruction than mill. Give me a good old fashioned Ponza deck.
Yeah. Will there be that in Theros, you think?
They shy away from land destruction so much. We're never going to see it again for 3 mana. We'll never see anything good for 4 mana ever again, I don't think. Because right. They're like, we want to make sure people can play their spells, but then they go and play a mill deck, which is basically that. But yeah. Whatever.
So, yeah, the event is over. It's definitely worthwhile. And you know what? They did put out a state of the game last week. I'm very excited for Friends List to be coming.
Finally.
Yes. They talked a bit about... And, oh, my gosh! How do we bury that lead? We didn't even put it in here. Pioneer is... They have completely 180'd. Pioneer is coming to Arena.
Well... said that's their long-term goal, but that's like years down the road.
But I mean, as long as they start moving toward it soon, and I think they will.
But then what are they going to do with these curated cards that they're adding in?
I think they're going to, you know, that Historic is going to be different than Pioneer.
So you think they'll have Standard, Historic, and Pioneer on there?
Yes.
If they do that, okay. Like, I like some of the, like, they're adding these cards... Okay, some of them are pretty nice. Like Phyrexian Arena in Esper Control looks pretty nice. They put some others, like Soul Warden is kind of cool. There's some decent options that are in there. I mean, I still would rather that they at least, if they were going to do that, at least turn on the sets that are already programmed in, like Kaladesh and Almancat.
Right.
You know, and then you can do your little curated sets, whatever. But I guess... You know, at least they're acknowledging Historic's going to exist. I mean, hopefully it's more than once a week or month or whatever they're doing. Just make it available all the time.
Well, I think that's what they're saying, that this is going to be different than, you know.
Make Brawl more than once a week.
I would agree with that.
It doesn't make any sense to me not to make these formats permanent because people are going to play what they're going to play. Like, if they wanted to play Brawl... They'll just do, like, a challenge match if they have a friend that they know is online. You know, especially now that they're getting friends lists. So if people weren't going to play Standard to begin with and they weren't going to play Magic online...
Right.
Then they're going to do something other than Standard anyway. So just make the format available. If you want to entice people to play it, make it eligible for daily quests. Make it eligible for the daily rewards. Whatever. Make it ranked. People will play it. Just let them play their cards.
I don't disagree with that. Not a bit. I I'm excited. I want, you know, I think they have to put Pioneer in here.
Yes, they do.
They have to. Especially if you ever want to get rid of the old 1990 interface of, you know, of MTGO.
I think as long as you can still draft with people on MTGO, it's not going anywhere.
You don't think so?
No, because the arena draft bots, it's a completely different format.
Yeah. Because I think they have to get rid of...
The AI is so dumb on the drafts.
They've got to start giving us... And I think with Friends List, I think you can do that.
That would be great. You know, there would be nothing better than being able to get... You know, you find 7 of your friends. You'd be able to queue up a draft and, like, do like a... Could you imagine... Here's a great thing. Whatever packs are available in the store, you do an 8-person chaos draft like that. You know, everybody puts in 2,000 gems or whatever it is, and they get, like, randomized, you know, because I'm sure at that point there'll be 20, at least 24 sets in available, you know, going farther down the road.
Right.
And you chaos draft. Or each player gets just the 3 packs from whatever set. So, you know, one player has 3 packs of Dominaria. One player has 3 packs of Rivals of Ixalan. One player has 3 packs of War of the Spark. And you draft it like that. I'm sure that would be... I mean, that could be something they could do. That sounds amazing.
And I think that's where they're going to go. I think they're going to work towards that. And
Cube!
So, I'm hoping. And, I mean, I'm just looking forward to it. Like, we'll friend each other and it would be a lot easier for us to find each other and play online a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, that's coming. That's the changes. But before we get out of here, before we go to End Step, I do want to bring up, we have some really exciting news. So, we put it out last couple of weeks that if there was somebody who wanted to do a Pioneer podcast for, you know, under the Planeswalkers banner, we would love to, you know, discuss that. And we've got two guys that we've been talking to. I'm not going to give you the official announcement yet. But, I mean, they've put together a mini show. We're going to take a listen to it. We haven't been able to finish it off yet. But we're very excited. I think we're going to have a second podcast under the Planeswalkers family. We're going to actually be a network. So that to me is exciting. So hopefully we'll have something more official to announce on that. But we're looking at a possible second podcast. That leaves Commander, Modern, I don't think Legacy, I guess. But if there are people out there that want to do that,
here's $20,000, buy half of a deck.
So we definitely would love to, you know. So we're really excited for that. It turns out it's actually my butt that's going to be doing it. So I'm a fan of my butt. I think my butt does amazing work. So when my butt does things like that. I think my butt could definitely move forward with the Pioneer podcast in a way that is new and interesting for all of us involved. So, you know, and actually the guy's name is Tony, but who won the contest. So, you know, I kind of want him to call himself my butt for a while, or even Will's butt. I'd be okay with that.
So many memes.
Huh?
So many memes.
So that's coming forward. Like I said, he sent us a mini episode. We're gonna take a listen to it. You know, obviously, not that we're supreme experts, but we'll take a listen and figure out how we can make this work. Talk about where it's gonna be hosted. Are we gonna host it? Is it gonna be, you know, the Planeswalkers? You will always get your Planeswalkers standard podcast on this feed, whether or not we add Pioneer to it. Is not, you know, this is our feed. This will always be our feed. I may, if we add Pioneer to it, and maybe I'll make a standard only and a Pioneer only feed for those who don't want to listen to them or who don't want to listen to us, their fans. So again, any ideas any of you have, just, we'd love to hear them. You know, we're doing some incredible things. We're going to start looking at ways to grow the show. We're coming on our first year together, even though we're on only episode 39, you know. I think January 7th was our first show. So
7th or 13th, something like that.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I went and listened to the first show today because I was listening to their show, and I wanted to kind of get an idea of, like, you know, how our first show went. And it is still live in the feed, and if you ever want to just have a giggle, definitely go back and listen to those first couple of shows because they're a different style. We've hit our stride.
They're pretty bad.
No, they weren't that bad. That Zero show was bad, and that is going to be forever lost to the ethers. But but with all that, you know, we probably should get ourselves. I mean, we're getting down towards the end of time, so let's go ahead and bring ourselves right into
End Step.
Okay, so here we are at the End Step. Aramis and I really want to, you know, while we're sitting here and picking up our deck boxes and our stuff and, you know, throwing away our pizza boxes because, damn it, your mother still does not work in this store. We wanted to kind of talk to you guys a little bit, let you know that we both stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast Twitch channel. Look us up there at Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindGrime73.
And I apologize for not being on stream last week because I was not here, and the week before that because of other reasons, and the week before that because, yeah, anyway. you can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. I'm hoping to be on this Wednesday. I mean, it's hard for me because I have, you know, other stuff going on with the family and everything else, but if I have a free moment, it's usually Wednesday nights. I will try to get on and do at least an hour or so of streaming around the same time that we would be recording, so like between 8 and 10 o'clock. If you want to do that, like I said, you could follow me at RMECWRX. I make sure that the show is fed to the main channel, the Plains Talker podcast channel. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can find our show at Plains Talker Pod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter, which I don't use very often, but you can find me at WR Benson. And really, it's just out there, really, so I can, you know, be out there and follow Bob Barker. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Plains Talker Podcast or go to Facebook.com/Plains Talker and like and follow our page.
Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, which we haven't really been able to do in a while because people aren't sending us too many
questions. What's up with not sending us emails, you bunch of... No, I'm just kidding.
It makes me very sad.
He cries. He does cry.
I do, and it's quite ugly.
It's
very messy.
It's not ugly. It's actually kind of funny. But yes, it's ugly. Terribly ugly. Very funny.
Anyway, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you do want to send us an email for that, or just to let us know how the show's doing, if you have any advice or questions or anything like that, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, we are in the middle of our month-long contest here of iTunes reviews. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to just do iTunes, but I mean, if I opened up to all of them, I have no idea how I'd find them. I'm on an iPhone, so, you know, join the revolution. But we do have we love an iTunes review. It will definitely help the show. We just got a new one from Noli Poli. I want to read that. It said, please, it's a 4-star. So if I nerf the soundboard, I want you to, Noli, I want you to go back and give us 5. But it says, new to the podcast, and I've loved the discussion, the atmosphere, and the overall dialogue so far. Basically, he's saying I'm cool. Only bite I have is that soundboard with the horse kicking, etc., is used a bit too much and is incredibly loud for people listening on headphones. Like, it's ear-piercing, to the point where I have to pull my phone out of my head and skip ahead 30 seconds. So basically, he's telling us to stop beat the dead horse. So,
although in this case, I guess it's still an elk.
It's still an elk. So,
delicious venison. There it is.
But see, I nerfed it a little bit. I did lower the sound. So, you know. So yes, but thank you very much. Please leave us some iTunes reviews at the end of the month. Okay, if we can get 5 new ones, so we are one on our way. If we get 4 more by the end of this month of November, I'll do another drawing for another 3 packs of Throne of Eldraine for Arena. So, you know, and anyone who has put in a review other than my butt, who has already won, so my butt cannot win any more codes. And it really, let's face it, my butt probably can't take any more codes. At the end of the day, my butt has a very, very small code threshold.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, this is just,
oh, wow.
I'm going to be doing the my butt thing for a while. So, but just leave us an iTunes review there. Let us know what you think of the show. Any entry is obviously going to be entered. If you leave us a 1, though, please just tell us why, maybe even email us before you do it. Because really the whole point of it is to kind of get more eyes on the show and grow the show. But with that, you know, we're going to start thinking about getting on out of here. We again want to thank you all so much for listening, for being here this week. We really enjoy doing the show. And so with that, for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying, remember to always leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you need it. We'll be back next week. Take care. Thanks for listening and have an awesome week. Bye-bye.